Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, we are back. Back again with another episode, another very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yav, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So, indeed, very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity. Yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very, very precious words the Most High has should have granted me. For the blessing of his people. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I have for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said, indeed, that I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he said that surely I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that I can be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. But men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to revert, to silence. And if they could, I said if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. But it's imperative, my brothers and sisters, that we all understand that though we live in a society where men are pronated to hearken to the words of their rulers. The truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, there is some very pertinent, important truth in the midst of the scriptures. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, it was said in advance that the rulers would not speak. I repeat, it was written in advance concerning these pertinent truths that the rulers would not speak. So without question, if man is to have faith to escape the mechanisms of darkness, the systems of men, the scheming conspiracies of men, which men have constructed to hide the truth, the minute to escape them. Scriptures told us in advance that faith must come by hearing a word from Yah. I did not say from man, I said from Yah. The apostle called, they called James in your King James Version. Whose actual name was Yaakov. Spoke to the tribes of Israel. Speaking to those who were scattered among the Gentiles in the diaspora. He said to them, in effect, that if any man be scattered among the nations, amidst a multitude of provocations, in other words, contentious differences amidst the nations. What do you think the Gentile nations are? So if any man be scattered among the nations after a multitude of contentious, diverse, the contentious ideals. He said, let that man who lacks wisdom know that he must ask Yah. The apostle even went as far as to say, if any man be double-minded, in other words, pronated after a mockery, what is innately a misrepresentation against the truth of the Most High? Think about it, being double-minded is automatically not the gospel, automatically a misrepresentation, because Yah is one. He said, if any man be double-minded, how about falling from the faith, filled with debates and doubts? Scripture said, let him not think he'll receive anything from the Most High. Man's heart must be convicted, my brothers and sisters, beyond every illusion, beyond every lie. Must be convicted, convinced, deliberate. The man may speak the truth, but because it is because of every lie, my brothers and sisters, every fallen ideal, every contentious, idle word that men have spoken, so many of my brothers and sisters have been deceived not to discern the greater truth of Yah. Matthew 12:36. Every foolish word, every idle word, every presumptuous word, every prideful word, every doctrine falling short of the mark which men have spoken, Scripture says they should give account of it in the judgment. Very dangerous, my brothers and sisters, are the words of those who speak hastily, not giving consideration of all the Most High has spoken. The Most High told me directly, greatest wisdom is not what men think they know. I presume they know, but what they don't know. For men think they know, he told me, not giving consideration to all that he has declared. Most High told me, this is not wisdom. I said, is not wisdom at all. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, we live in a world today that men have thought themselves wise simply because there are others around them who agree. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you, if men by and large have not been called to attention with regard to the precepts that are necessary to form a wise conclusion, then just simply to follow whatever seems wise before men is a very foolish thing to do. Scripture says, any man consider himself wise in this world, let him consider himself a fool, let him consider himself deceived. Let him consider himself, therefore, in context, blinded to the truth, that he may become wise, that he may become aware, that he may become, my brothers and sisters, true unto the will of one. Because as I said to you before, scriptures talk about man having become so grossly inordinate in his thinking in these latter days. As scripture said, the Most High looked, and he saw none righteous, no righteous one, no, not one, no intercessor, no shepherd. Everyone turned toward his own evil way. Yes, my brothers and sisters, scripture even go as far as to say, the whole world has fallen short of the glory, and definitely, my brothers and sisters, in these latter days, in need of a shepherd. And the Most High said he would send an ensign, someone to guide the nations. And unto him, the scripture says, all the nations shall seek, and at his rest, his peace. Result of this awakening. Shall be glorious. I want you to think about something, my brothers and sisters. The one the scriptures speak about, it says, all nations shall seek him. All nations shall seek him. That is rest, peace, shall be an invariant glory. I think about the fact the scriptures say, my brothers and sisters, that this one, I'm talking about Isaiah 11, will expose all wickedness. How about all folly? Globally, that the knowledge of Yah should cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Scriptures also say the same one will come to do something he'd done before. And that's to gather Israel from all the nations they've been scattered, or at least open the doors where they'll return. And quite frankly, he did do that, in that men of the tribes of Israel, particularly Judah and Levi and Benjamin, did indeed come back. But the scriptures, I mean back to Israel and Jerusalem proper. But the scriptures ultimately relate, my brothers and sisters, that what he would do in the latter days is finally regather all the tribes of Israel, even those who spread to the north country, as in the days when there was the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. 10 tribes scattered to the north. Well, my brothers and sisters, because the tribes that predominantly returned, Levi and Judah, the same ones that the northern tribes had, let's just say their little family spat against. A lot of the tribes that were not Israel, or let's just say, not Judah. I have some stuff in my throat. Excuse me a second. Not Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, by and large, did not return. That was 2,600 years ago. Well, the scripture says in the latter days, they shall return. In fact, what the scripture talks about, when it talks about a covenant renewed, he said, I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Israel, my brothers and sisters, and Judah have never yet fully reconciled to become the holy nation the Most High has intended beyond all the diverse rulerships of this world. Scriptures that are evident of this, that this is what in fact is the restoration of a covenant, Is it Jeremiah 30th chapter through 31st chapter? The fact of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we haven't seen that yet, so that's future text, future tense prophecy. Talks about one called the, he said he raised up unto David a righteous branch. However, we've looked many times on this show and seen that the word for branch and word for east, as in the one called King of the East, the Shashan Shahi, the King of Kings. Same word, my brothers and sisters, relating to the same context, for instance, at Zechariah 3 and 8 and Zechariah 6 and 12. And we must acknowledge, my brothers and sisters, those prophecies talk about the one who would then, in fact, be connoted as the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, same one, since Zechariah spoke of him and Malachi 4:2 spoke of him. At times, my brothers and sisters, regarding his appearing or return, in fact, the Aramaic even specifically uses the word return, well after the time of his reign, which occurred 2,600 years ago. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that most have not considered that those prophecies are very critical word, very critical to the stabilization of a people, if you will, the comforting of a people after the will of one? Very important. In fact, the scriptures say concerning that one very key scripture, and I want to go through quite a bit of this tonight, is at Isaiah 45 and 6. The Most High says he calls him that they all may know. How about all peoples and all nations may know from the rising of the sun to the setting down thereof? Reverence for only one Most High, even Yah. And that's the purpose for which this one he called his anointed is sent. The scriptures say that he comes to be a shepherd to Israel. And many of us are aware of the scriptures in Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel 37, saying that Israel shall ultimately have one shepherd. Scripture says, this one is the one before whom all foolish counsel shall fall. In Isaiah 44. He shall be a deliverance to Israel. When Israel couldn't discern beyond all the dissentious voices in our own midst. Scripture says the Most High would dry up the rivers before this one, meaning that the boundaries of the nations shall pale. Dry up, the scripture says, before him. In other words, rather than men being subject to the various misruling mindscapes, short-sighted, partial, treacherous, and perverse, polluted ideals of the various rulers of the nations, rather than men being subject to a multitude of diverse kings, they shall all be subject to one king, even one called the Shashan Shahe, Shashan Shah. Word meaning King of Kings. We add so much of this up together. The scripture says this is the one who the Most High appointed as his shepherd to bring Israel back to him. One scripture says concerning the Revelation as a parallel. There's a lot of things to talk about here. I mean, there's so many parallels. We've just seen so many redundant parallels throughout the scripture. One scripture says, behold, every eye shall see him. Micaiah, Matthew 24, and Revelation 1:6, for instance, said all that, every eye shall see him, and all the nations of the earth shall mourn. Hey, one scripture says they shall mourn because they shall mourn for him whom they have. The word there actually is rejected or refused. You ever stop to consider, my brother, in scripture says every eye shall see him? How much the scripture say all flesh, that compared to the scripture says all flesh shall see the glory of the Most High. For the mouth of the Most High has spoken it. How many have considered where that scripture actually comes from in Isaiah 40 concerning the coming of one. The Most High says, my brothers and sisters, that indeed will prove foolish all the varied differing forms of doctrine declared by a multitude of rulers, not true to the will of one. Now, sit back and look at it. You know, it's 45,000 or something denominations in the world today. All teaching their own personal brand of the Messiah. When the scripture said the first command, we must all recognize him as one. Meaning that if we see differences among ourselves and we see men calling themselves believers, we have an obligation, if our oath is true unto the Most High, to seek all the truth necessary that there be a reconciliation among his people. Let me repeat that. The very fact that Yah says he is one, that we must love him, all of us must love him with all our minds, heart, soul, and might, loving our neighbors, ourselves, that we have an obligation, if we say we are believers of him, to seek the fullness of the truth. I did not say every man seeking to exalt his own ideals after partiality, for pollutions, creating debates and doubts, that men exalt themselves. For men to do such a thing, my brothers and sisters, in fact, then, is a grievous sin. Scripture says, cursed is everyone who's not confirmed everything written in the book of the law to do it. Meaning that Messiah's words at Matthias 20, well, how about Matthias 5:14? Good place to start, the 24. Hey, it relates it very plainly that whoever would seek to deny in any way the law of the prophets will fall victim to those who do. Scripture says, shall no case enter, in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. Many of my brothers and sisters, that if we're only concerned about exalting our own short-sightedness and pride, more so than what is necessary for the healing of Israel as a nation, then we have no partakership in Israel at all. And I can tell you, quite frankly, I see all the time a multitude of institutions everywhere I look that have been, if they're true to anything, they've been true to the scriptures at Isaiah 56. It says they're all like dumb dogs that cannot bark. Every one of them, to the very last one, only concerned about his own advantage. To the extent, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says a righteous man has perished. It means that they're very intense. They might be deceptive to you people. The Most High knows their hearts. Many of my brothers and sisters, that the intents of their hearts have not been always deliberate and true. I can only tell you that so many of these pastors having what they call Doctor of Divinity degrees they get from these seminary schools. Hey, they know while they're going through training in these various schools that that degree is not unto an absolute. These people are just simply learning to preside over congregations, to comfort the people after what seemingly will loosen their purse strings and flip open their billfolds. I said again, my brothers and sisters, the Most High knows your heart. I can only tell you that so many of my brothers and sisters have believed the illusion, the pretense so long that the Most High told me too concerning this. There are many who rather believe a deceiver, even follow after and support and uphold a deceiver than believe they've been deceived, meaning that they prefer to reject the truth if it meant that they were allowed to hang on to foolish pride. A brother and sister, scripture says it can be most high counts abominable, everyone that is prideful. Do you think the Most High is pleased with any heart, mind, or soul that will not be shaped by reason? There's a reason why the scripture says he's going to make the kings and rulers. He's going to trod them down like a pot of treads clay. Till there's no more resistance, my brothers and sisters, against the people or the Most High seeking after the truth.
But my brothers and sisters, when the scripture says Messiah comes to deliver his people from their sins, it means he also comes to deliver people from the inequities and the aberrations, the inconsistencies in their own hearts. He says he has to prove foolish the wisdom of those called wise. How about my brothers and sisters, that men finally let go of the illusions that have left the people of the Most High under so many different allegiances that they could not know the Most High as he is. Ah, see you there. Ah, good to see you there, Mom B. I see kind of there, shining light. Just like to put everyone on alert, there's a new article coming up on HiddenGospel.com, a website. It just hit me, a major premise that needed to be given direct consideration. And rather than going through all that was necessary immediately to edit through it all, and yes, it will be edited through, Yah willing, I felt it was necessary to just go ahead and pop the information up there. I'm looking forward to putting it in a better, more readable form in the days to come, working through it. But I felt it was necessary to go ahead and put a lot of these points up. Because the truth of the matter is that there's so much preponderance of evidence, redundant even evidence, throughout the scriptures relating who is the Messiah and who Yeshua said he is. So much evidence, brothers and sisters, that it becomes apparent. If you got 45,000 denominations and all these different pastors, every which where, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, whatever they call themselves, everywhere. So many rulers, brothers and sisters, who claim that their governments were founded upon the knowledge of the Most High. Then, brothers and sisters, if they were concerned, truly concerned, that the truth of the Most High be a foundation to all their people, how could they have missed this much evidence? I can only tell you that the second Psalm, Psalm 2, says indeed that there's been a conspiracy on the part of the rulers. In fact, Isaiah 8th chapter said the same between the 8th and 9th verse to the 9th and 8th verse of Isaiah. Even goes to the point of saying the Messiah will be warned not to follow what these people call confederacies. It's actually a conspiracy against the Most High. That the kings of the earth have taken counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. Well, in order to see all these things to the parameters that need be, I'm very thankful to the Most High for the times that it's been, that oftentimes, I know this might sound unusual to some of you, but the scripture says the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things and bring all things to remembrance. There are times when the Most High will take the mind, literally take it back in time. You can also take it forward. But he would take the mind back in time into a place, my brothers and sisters, you have no conscience of the multitude of illusions and lies and short-sighted ideologies and conspiracies and schemes of men that have grown in this world to such an atrocious state that man has been free fall further and further away from the Most High and just hasn't known. The Most High can take you back to a place in time to see what was the conscience of those who knew him in ages long ago. The scripture says the sign must come because it must surely be that he must restore the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the Father. The Most High can take you back to a place to see what was the conscience of those who believed in years, thousands of years ago. To know what was their expectation, what was the zeal in their hearts. How even, my brothers and sisters, those who loved the truth saw the gospel, that pure, perfect word from on high. Remember I told you before, a word, my brothers and sisters, complicit after the verse ideal of a multitude of different unholy nations could never be the gospel of the kingdom of God. No pluralist standard, no contradictive standard, my brothers and sisters, could ever be called the gospel of salvation. How could a perverse, polluted, short-sighted word be a word of deliverance, my brothers and sisters, to release the captives? Simply can't be. Well, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, like I said, the Most High can take you back to a place where your mind is not cluttered up with thoughts of this age and the faulty condition of this present age. And it's amazing how many things that this age will have to soon rediscover and come aware of that were just common thought. I mean, the smallest child, 5 years old, would have known these things well. But they are, by and large, far from common thinking in the people, among the people today. My brothers and sisters, I go as far as to tell you that 2,000 years ago, if you'd call Messiah the Kurdi or the Shashan Shahi, King of Kings, the King of the East, the Kurdish Shah, if you'd have called him by any of these titles 2,000 years ago, relative to so much prophecy that is in the Bible, that was common thought. It's not a discovery. That's just something that they would have thought. In fact, if you'd have spoke about it, it's something everybody knew. But is that a concept that everybody is aware of today? Isaiah 41 speaks again and again how it will be seen in the latter days nobody preached the gospel. How about the word that would deliver men, my brothers and sisters, from all the contentious debates and doubts of all the nations? No one preaches the gospel. The gospel is that pure word, my brothers and sisters, that will awaken all flesh to see the glory of God. In fact, amazingly enough, isn't it something to consider that the word for good tidings is related in Scripture by the Hebrew words basar, basar, B-A-S-A-R, B-A-S-A-R. Amazingly enough, my brothers and sisters. You ever stop to consider what those words in the Hebrew connote? It connotes something very powerful, my brothers and sisters. It relates to testimony ultimately that all flesh must see. Yes, my brothers and sisters. The testimony from on high that all flesh, all the seed and descendancy of the earth must see. The testimony that men must become aware of, my brothers and sisters, if they are to be free beyond middle what the eyes see and the ears hear. One good example of a place that you can find such a scripture where it uses those terms, basar, basar. One good place is, Isaiah 41 speaks it, Isaiah 57. But you have to pull these things up in the Hebrew. Isaiah 52, Isaiah 52, 7. In fact, bring good tidings is the Hebrew word basar, basar, basar. And the word relates not only that which is fresh, but like I say, fresh, good, whole, pure, perfect news or message. In Isaiah 42, for instance, there's another time that's a good time to look at those words. Isaiah 42, how about 41? Go back. Isaiah 41, another good place. Where it speaks of the gospel. Every eye. High Mountain, Isaiah 40 and 9. all flesh shall see him. It's amazing that the word there for flesh that is also related as gospel, it's also a word that's related as gospel. I find that rather amazing, my brothers and sisters, that men have not understand what the scriptures mean when it says, all flesh shall see him. All flesh shall see the glory of Yah, for the mouth of the Most High has spoken it. And it's amazing that when you talk about those scriptures, like say, every eye shall see him, as in Revelation 1 and 7, that the same scriptures of same connotation on Isaiah 40 going to 41, speak about the one, the scripture says, that a voice crying in the wilderness will say, comfort you, O my people, to herald his appearance. And the scriptures call this one, the righteous one like the rising sun, in Isaiah 41. One who casts out all the darkness, one who reveals the light the world would obscure. I find it amazing, my brothers and sisters. That a world has not discerned the nature of how many comparisons exist in Scripture with regard to the coming of the Messiah. And I have not put it together. But then again, it's not so surprising. Isaiah 40 and 5, the glory of the Most High shall be revealed in all flesh. How about every eye should see it together? The mouth of the Most High has spoken it. So much evidence. Maybe it's not such a big surprise that most don't see it. A lot of folks, my brothers and sisters, are waiting for your rulers, and their multiple contradictions, desires to maintain their thrones. They're waiting for the rulers to tell them. And the scripture said in advance they would not. Told folks in advance that they should realize that it's Messiah himself who will suddenly reveal the truth, that will expose all the rulers as treacherous. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that most are still waiting, apparently, for the rulers to tell them what Scripture said they would not? I'd like to go through a lot of the points. I got maybe a bit of time. I'm going to take this article, this newest article, on hiddengospel.com. The Gospel, the Promise of Shiloh. And I'm going to break it down a bit. I'm sure I'm going to wind up elaborating on a lot of points. I'm going to try to make things as straightforward and clear as it is possible. But especially my brothers and sisters still realizing that it's going to demand some diligence on the part of the people to examine these things. It's a corollary article to a couple of articles already on the website. Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation, Secret City Prophecies. I call this then a kind of like sister article to them. And since I have spoken all along with regard to concept of the gospel of the one called Shiloh, I put a few pointers with regard to the one called Shiloh in the Early Church Origin article. So people understand I'm talking about the same one. And I decided I would just go ahead and concentrate on this term Shiloh for a moment. Since I've used other terms for Messiah, the Kurdi, Shashin Shah, King of the East, Angel from the Rising Sun, so many times I've used. But Shiloh speaks to the very same one, because if you look at all the prophecies concerning the one that the early church and all the prophets of old called Shiloh, you see the reverberation of the same ideas. So I'm just going to use the time that is available with the rest of this show. to just simply just relate a few points. And they are very simple, my brothers and sisters. The one who will cause the whole world to recognize indeed that Yah is the only righteous one, the only Savior, the only conscience by which this world might be made one, the only justice, the one whom the Most High sends to declare that justice, to reveal that glory beyond all the varied, if you will, debates of man and the differences of opinion that are in the hearts of men. The very fact that one comes, brothers and sisters, to assure that all shall know, indeed again, who is Yah? What is his plan and his purpose for his people? The one that causes it to be that the whole world shall recognize the sovereignty of one Most High. That is certainly Messiah. Scriptures talk about the idea that he will come for the express purpose that Israel shall be glorified, even at peace in the Most High. Hey, that the earth would dwell to a time indefinite at peace. Scripture says he will send back the people of the Most High, bring them back to the Most High, not for a price nor for a bribe. Scripture says he will come forth one day saying, draw near to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Scripture said he would come saying, Well, Scripture say of him, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Some texts say to swear allegiance. But what Scripture say? Confess him as Lord to the glory of Yah, his Father. All that's in Isaiah 45, my brothers and sisters. Revelation speaks of him and it says, before him shall come the drying up of the rivers. That the king, I just said kings plural, but the king of the east, where the king of the east might be prepared, that men might prepare for the one king. Well, and then Messiah comes forth saying, behold, I come. Yeshua says, behold, I come. But the scripture talks about there being one shepherd for whom all the rivers will be dried up. In other words, all men's allegiances to the very status of men should be no more because of him, because of his testimony. The scripture says a swift testimony from on high, swift comes upon a swift cloud. In other words, the cloud relates the idea about it's like a message from on high, my brothers and sisters. The men might see perhaps a foretaste of what the Most High has wrought, what the Most High intends. Clouds were symbolic, my brothers and sisters, of messengers from on high that all should see. How many of my brothers and sisters understand that until the world all sees the same gospel message? The scripture talks about it in Revelation 14. It says, I saw another angel preaching the everlasting gospel, every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. It says, whoever will partake of the mark of the beast, his image or the number of his name, shall take of the wrath of Almighty Yah. You ever stop to consider that is the message that goes forth to all nations that they might exceed the unrighteousness of all the beastly nations? Well, you notice that scripture talking about the one called the King of the East said there'd be a drying up the rivers before him. Scripture said, Messiah said, behold, I come, and then all the cities of the nations, all the various social coalitions of the nations fall because they are proven foolish. Hey, Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The one called the morning star also is the same one the scriptures speak of in Isaiah 44-45. That all these magnificent words concerning him are spoken. He said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. I tell you the word sunrise and branch in Zechariah 3:8-6:12. Same word. And he spoke of someone who is still yet to come. And this time, like I said, to regather Israel, to heal all the tribes, to make them one, declare Jerusalem as an everlasting, a place of everlasting salvation. Well, those things haven't happened yet. I've often said to you that what the scriptures say that the East will, hey, what has been the ancient expectation in the East shall one day become the expectation in the West that hadn't come, meaning that those prophets concerning this one called the Kurdi, put down your King James Version, Cyrus, the one who founded the Medo-Persian or Kurdistan Empire. Hey, if those prophecies haven't come to pass yet, the scripture says he will sit one day upon the throne of David as king and priest. You really ought to stop and consider for a minute who this one is. He on the Most High has appointed as a shepherd to bring Israel back to him. I'm reading, just reading from the article that I'm speaking of. That's why I'll be looking through some of this. I'll, a chance to edit it for, you know, a little bit of fine-tuning. And I'm looking at the article that's on the website now, hiddengospel.com, Gospel of Shiloh. It's listed as the first article. If you look, just type in hiddengospel.com, look to the side, hit that article. Well, I'm reading from some of the text that is there as it appears presently. And it says, this is the hope of Shiloh, hope of peace, the hope of the one, the awaited one who would bring peace, revealed. The hope of Shiloh, my brother, the hope of peace. You need to ask the question. If the world that says it seeks peace has not spoken of these truths, you need to ask, my brother, who it is that has devised this scheme against the hope of peace. Now, I got down here some of these concepts. See, human the Most High is appointed as a shepherd to bring Israel back to him, to expose all unrighteous rule, to establish Jerusalem upon firm foundation, that all from the rising sun to the sitting down thereof shall worship the one Most High simply must be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Please look at Isaiah 44:20, and that's all down there so you can examine, you know, at your own perusal time. Isaiah 44:20-46:13, just a good place to start. There's a redundancy, my brothers and sisters, in what the scriptures say concerning this one when it says, Messiah said, behold, I come, and he calls himself the King of the East in Revelation 16:12-21. There's a redundancy there. That kind of points out who Messiah said he is when he said, for instance, in Revelation 22:16, he said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. And he said, this is the testimony that must be testified in all the churches. Oh, believe me, the translators know what that means. If they haven't told you about this, my brothers and sisters, you need to ask, are they churches at all? And if there's this much evidence concerning what I'm speaking, you have to ask, my brothers and sisters, just how inspired have been your leaders? I can only tell you the scriptures say that your leaders wouldn't tell you these things because the one who comes has to expose all of them. Like I said, you got 45,000 denominations all preaching their own version of the Savior. You think the Savior won't have to reprove them all in order to establish what is indeed the Word and the messenger? Who is the messenger of salvation? You think about it, my brothers and sisters. Scripture said in advance the rulers wouldn't speak to you concerning these things, that they maintain the illusion unto their own selfish advantage as long as possible. Isaiah 41:21-42:4 makes it plain that the rulers would scheme against monotheist faith, even against the hope of a Savior, and Shashan Shahe, Shiloh, Kurdi, if you will, a righteous one. Till the people have become so double-mindedly tainted after worldliness that none is discerning fully what indeed is righteousness. Would not discern the word of a righteous one, because he's, Scripture says he speaks line upon line, precept upon precept. A lot of concepts, my brothers and sisters, the most are totally, completely unaware of this in this society, simply because the leaders have been so treacherous and have not taught the people, as they, if they are the people of the Most High, and leaders called by the Most High, should have done. Brothers and sisters, they didn't teach you about the hope of a righteous one to restore the truth. Did they teach you the gospel of the holy kingdom of Yah at all, or did they just teach you their own ways? They believe the gospel. They teach the people to believe the gospel is somehow a license for all the multitude of presumptuous imaginings, result of their own carnality. In other words, everybody feels like they can create their own concept of the Messiah, their own concept of a Savior, their own concept of the Holy Kingdom. Hey, my brothers and sisters, to call people to their own personal miscreant sense of reality that is not the reality at all. Seeking to abolish or completely ignore the word of truth that would open men's minds to see beyond the cages that they're in. But some have even been taught the gospel. They say Messiah gave his life for their sins. They believe they gave Messiah gave his life for people to presumptions after whatever they will unto a multitude of contentious ideals against the peace. And brethren, says that's not gospel at all. Messiah did not give his life for men to function after their own vanities. Scripture says if he did not go, the comfort of the Holy Spirit would not come. My brother says he didn't give his life for people to be under tribulation and turmoil, trusting every lying, bastardized ideal, ungodly premise that men imagine. If they told you that, my brothers and sisters, it's only that they caused you to worship after the idea of an indiscriminate one and make you even believe that indiscriminate thinking is a savior. Even love, even coming to love those and support with all your heart those who, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, had no love for the salvation of your soul at all. How could they? It's kind of obvious that many of them don't believe. They've already sold their souls into hell. What makes you think they're concerned at all about yours? My brothers and sisters, they've taught the people an entirely presumptuous multitude of misimaginations that only reflect, my brothers and sisters, the multitudes of their diverse carnalities. Scripture says there's strife and division among us, because men are still yet worldly. Brothers and sisters, do people really believe they could be delivered into the kingdom of God for all the differences of man? These rulers, my brothers and sisters, have entirely perverted to corrupt the holy grace of the gift of knowledge that comes from Yah. And the scripture says in the book of Yehuda, they will have to be convinced. The people, therefore, because of your rulers, will have to be convinced regarding just how ungodly are the doctrines they have trusted. That men at last discern that their doctrines and they who taught them, in fact, were all liars. But again, that's another concept, my brothers and sisters, that the scriptures relate. That again, all the prophecies say your leaders wouldn't tell you. If you knew that these folks were lying to you and hiding the truth, maybe you might seek it. Well, my brothers and sisters, these are men just like the prince of darkness. Know that their ability to rule over people depends upon people remaining in darkness, remaining under where? Messiah said the truth will set you free if you're my disciples. I question, my brothers and sisters, the veracity of many people's profession to be saved and that they are still subject to those individuals that would never tell them the truth. Most High told me that if you're subject to anyone who hides the truth from you, as long as man is subject to those who hide the truth from him, men are in tribulation. I did not say saved. I did not say subject to the resounding peace of the Most High, but subject to those who hide the truth from you, my brothers and sisters. Man is in bondage. And whoever, my brothers and sisters, compels others to follow after those who hide the truth from you. My brothers and sisters only assist in men falling victim to a deadly and damning cage. My brothers and sisters, unbelief saves no one. They will have to discern, the whole world will have to discern that every doctrine that has not upheld the hope of the one called Shiloh, all of these doctrines, did you hear me? All conceived void of hearing the Spirit of Yah and were never the words of faith. I know that sounds hard, but do you really think the Spirit of the Most High would hide from those who are faithful from Him, who are faithful unto Him, the knowledge of who the Savior is? What spirit, my brothers and sisters, has kept men blind for so very long? What agenda in the hearts of your leaders kept the people blind for so very long? Like I said, if the rulers have not taught this doctrine, the one called Shiloh, the one who would cast aside all the treacherous, misruling, misleading information, and misadministrations of man, that the rulers have not taught this doctrine has been destruction against faith in Yah, so that men could take control over the people of the hypocrisies of their many fallen rulers. To this day, the nations and denominations claiming to be wise do not know, or the most of the people, many of the people, still don't know how much they resist knowing even their need to know who is this one called Shiloh. You talk about the term Shiloh, they haven't heard in their church, they think it's got to be unimportant information. Most have told me that this information, my brothers and sisters, is some of the most precious of all. In fact, very important simply because it is rare. My brothers and sisters, and everybody's Bible, if you read Old Testament and New. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that men have been so misled to trust their rulers, they figure that if they see something in their Bibles that leaders haven't taught them about, it's somehow unimportant. Somehow unimportant, simply because the rulers haven't spoken. Well, my brothers and sisters, there's so many truths in the Bible that the leaders, the people who call rulers and pastors, haven't spoken of, my brothers and sisters, the implications of it can make whole new worlds and universes. Well, my brothers and sisters, if you're locked up in a false sense of reality, under controlling bodies of so much misinformation, that you can't see the greater truth, you have to still yet see it. You have to ask the Most High to open the doors to see, my brothers and sisters, beyond the walls of the places that have no doors. Finally, my brothers and sisters, you might discern beyond the constructs of man to see the way of light. And it is those, my brothers and sisters, who attain to this victory, they alone, who the Most High can confirm. Because he can't confirm as viable and true unto him anyone who would hate or despise his truth. A lot of folks believe, my brothers and sisters, that because they've been victimized, that they are the righteous, just because they've been victimized. Brothers and sisters, people have been victimized after so many diverse, polluted ideas and standards and titles on the part of both the oppressor and the oppressed, that it's an amazing thing to see that anybody could even begin to count. And my brothers and sisters, you just have a multitude of partial and perverse standards arguing with each other. Why do people feel that just because they are not agreed with, that they must be the righteous? My brother says there's a need to start examining the scriptures much more closely. The righteous are they, my brother and sisters, who seek the fullness of all that is divine will, that nothing of it be twisted out of context, and that all of it be preserved, and once restored, my brother and sisters, remain true, never again to be forgotten. My brothers and sisters, but there are those who prefer to believe they have not been victims at all. And they talk about how this quote-unquote Antichrist is yet to come. Brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that the rulers didn't care anything about a king of kings. They wanted to all call themselves saviors, and I'm tipping my hat a little bit here. They all want to call themselves saviors. They all want to call themselves sons of Yah. Idea about one savior and one son of one ultimate Most High. They consider that entire idea to be a threat to all that was their social misorder in a polytheist kingdom, in a polytheist world. Hey, my brothers and sisters, they didn't just simply consider the faith in the Messiah a threat to their imperialist agenda in the East. They considered the idea about that spread across the land and beyond the sea into the West to be a threat to all that Western imperialism had already conquered to become in its some of the ways unstable and hypocritical. This rule. Some people don't even believe today that the conscience that they uphold, the rulership they uphold, the standards they uphold, the status quo they uphold, They believe that somehow they who slaughtered the saints in the, first 3-4 centuries, that they who slaughtered the saints really did convert. And that's why we see the world still divided today. Scriptures talk about how they, the early saints, were murdered and silenced. But brothers and sisters, how can you silence those who convert if some who converted still remain? This time we think about these things for a minute. Revelation 6 says the saints who were beheaded asked the question, how long, O Lord, before you render judgment upon those who function, if you will, hypocritically on earth? But don't maintain the truth of the testimony, say until the rest of their brothers should be killed as they had been. Examine the scriptures, my brothers and sisters, and tell me if you think, after looking at these things, that it's not necessary for the Most High to send a righteous one into a world where he has seen none righteous, no, not one. Everybody's testimony is so double-minded and tainted that men cannot deliver themselves. Men so busy seeking camaraderie with others, blinded in their minds and hearts, that very few, my brothers and sisters, even know how to speak a word that is consistent with all the Most High has intended. In fact, the scriptures in the book of Yaakov say we need to watch and guard our tongues. There's so many times speaking in such a manner that placates, flatters, soothsays those who function in such a lesser conscience. Results, my brothers and sisters, in the detriment of what is the doctrine of the Most High as a whole. We need to be really, really concerned, my brothers and sisters, about how we allow ourselves to be presented and how this gospel is to be presented before men, because it's very definitely a word that is only true to the Most High if it is indeed true to the Most High. Think about it. Millions were slaughtered in the first 3 centuries till it was true that those who maintained that testimony were no more. If you think I'm kidding about this, or joshing in some way about this, please examine the article on my website, hiddengospel.com, an article called Tribulation 70 to 365 AD. The Messiah said that after those murderous times, he didn't say that he would appear, but there said to be a rise of false prophets. About a rise of false prophecy, false teaching, because there's none who discern righteousness enough to stand against. There's been a free fall for a long time. Who then, my brothers and sisters, will discern him whom the Most High sins to raise man back up? A lot of folks would prefer to believe that there's no agreement among men true to all that Yah has spoken. And they presume, my brothers and sisters, in the hope that there's no need for anyone to agree or discern again that pure and perfect standard. They also presume there's nothing divinely worthwhile. Somehow the present social order has forgotten. They just simply say that if it's no longer remembered, then it's unimportant. My brothers and sisters, to believe that concept is a truly fallen victim of those whose goal it is has always been to exploit you. People have been led to believe that it has been so long that this issue of the one called Shiloh has been wholeheartedly addressed among the bureaucracy of the multitude of derelict and duty churches. Now today, this constant expectation of the preservation of faith in one, they believe it's a little consequence. Brothers and sisters, the word of salvation is one. It is constant from the beginning. It's the only hope of life. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, saying that the Messiah gave his life, Savior, one who functioned after the Holy Spirit, after the pure testimony of the Most High, gave his life that men might trust in a multitude of conflicting ideals. Still not realizing that the world had been converted, that a whole world with no other, with no to exalt, no other conscience, and with no other conscience but that of Yah himself, true to all that he has spoken. Scripture says this one called Shiloh will bring about a restitution, a remembrance of all things the Most High has spoken since the world began. My brother and sister, I can walk in just about any church house in the world. Now, just being honest with you, and cite an abundance of things that are in the scriptures that they have chosen not to fully acknowledge. If you ask the people in the congregation a question regarding a lot of these things, hardly would you find an answer. Because of gross unfamiliarity. You need to ask the question, why, my brothers and sisters? Most High is going to confirm anyone as sanctified unto himself. But those who are discerning these things will know whether in hearing a word, that if, whether it was truth or falsehood. Most High is not going to give his kingdom, my brothers and sisters, over upon the foundation of a people who are undiscerning and indiscriminate. You need to understand that. The Gentiles, even all nations, one day, my brothers and sisters, will know to seek no other but Yah. Know that their allegiance to a vast multitude of their rulers has all been double-minded, infirmity, has all been idolatry, been vanity, even damnable sin. Yah is one. How can you say you believe in Yah who is one and still trust in the diverse doctrines of so many? My brothers and sisters, Most High sent Messiah, and he said, concerning the testimony he sent him with, said, if you love me, keep, guard, maintain, preserve, defend my commandments, the knowledge of his purpose, the knowledge of his conscience. It's quite obvious, my brothers and sisters, that preservation has not been done. And few of them, my brothers and sisters, that have been willing to fully seek, I said, fully seek all that is necessary to restore it. How many of them, my brothers and sisters, then are preparing for the one called the Son of Man? If men truly knew, my brothers and sisters, all that's written in the scripture, they would know their rulers of sin who have sought to hide or dissuade the people the knowledge of the truth, keeping them from discerning that the division they uphold are treacherous partialities and delusions, and that the treacherous partialities and delusions that they uphold are the reason wrought in hypocritical, misrepresentative hypocrisies. That partialities and pollution, my brothers and sisters, are the reason for there being so many damning divisions in the world, so much contention, so much warfare. They would know that the entire construct, this world construct that men have been taught to trust, is against the hope of a Savior, against the hope of a Shiloh, Shashin, Shahe, against the hope for an end to world of confusion and warfare. Again, that the whole world, my brothers and sisters, ruled is seeking to exalt themselves after less than knowledge, have schemed against the hope of everlasting peace on earth. That's what the book says again and again. How is it that so few are ready to believe it? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If people have imperialist regimes and imperialist agendas and ambitions, do you think they really seek to maintain the peace, that they might widen their borders? How many of my brothers and sisters have sought to widen their nation, have sought to widen their borders by making real, true pacts relative to justice with those round about them? So often, hey, we see what's happening right now in different places in the world. Hey, people want to widen their borders. Hey, they seek if they can, if they have to take them by force. Not to say, my brothers and sisters, that everyone involved being oppressed or oppressive is righteous. But my brothers and sisters, so often men forget that scripture says Messiah. It says the isle shall wait for his law, but he shall not fail till he said justice in the earth. Anciently, the concept of Messiah, scripture didn't say that some nations would not have to be won through force. But it's the Most High, my brothers and sisters, who oftentimes will force the hands of many to comply with him, because, quite frankly, if the land in which you live in is riddled with earthquakes and hurricanes and storms of every kind of form and magnitude, always too hot or too cold, till the land itself brings forth no increase, what do people really have? Well, the Most High said nature itself is going to one day rebel against mankind. That the remnant of those who would trust in falsehood should be small and feeble. Well, how many of my brothers and sisters are ready to deal with the real, that this earth might be healed? Because quite frankly, the Most High did not say that he's going to forever bless a world that will not give him what he requires. If men truly knew the truth in the scriptures, they would know the entire construct they trust in this world, my brothers and sisters, again, has been against the peace. Like I said, people just simply sought to do whatever they would. Rulers sought to do whatever they would, to take control and to take resources from the earth. As chiefly are so often as after manner of very, how can I say this, schemes to justify their wickedness. You can imagine. Over and over again, we see cases of where one nation sees itself more powerful than another, or ready to take on the other nation, or the gripes of another nation. A nation seeking to deal with another grossly, unjustly, so that when the nation decides to retaliate, they say that the one who retaliates, not the one who started the fight, but the one who retaliates to defend himself, is the unjust one. It happens all the time, my brothers and sisters, and men turn around and look and see, man, we're threatened now because what? We already dealt with somebody wrong. So now we're threatened because they choose to halt your so-called nation's progress in oppressing them. That's amazing to me how often people fall for that game. They tell us it's your country. What they're really telling you is that they have a right to rule over you, and you ought to go along with it, because they offer you what? Crumbs from the master's table? And you're willing to call them master? Hey, my brothers and sisters, you need to consider something. One time, maybe 10, 15 years ago, computers have a lot to do with it, I'm sure. 10, 15 years ago, they said, hey, 10% of the people control 90% of the wealth. I saw 60 Minutes, I think it was, in fact, within the last couple of years, statements to the effect that, quite frankly, the day has changed. There's been so much, let's just say, buying and purchasing of ultranational corporations within the course of what are ultranational corporations that actually rule things. That it's got to the point that it's about like 0.1% of the populace now that controls 90% of the wealth. What are they really calling you an allegiance to? To defend, my brothers and sisters, those who would prefer you never know the truth? Hey, they would hide the light from you that you know only to praise the darkness? We need to consider, my brothers and sisters, why it is that the idea of an exceeding righteousness and an exceeding justice in the world is always seen as a threat by those whose real agenda is to constantly exploit. Let me tell you something. I've run into some who know the story of the one called the Kurdi. They consider him a great leader and a just leader who helped the nations to see beyond their differences, all might yield themselves to the righteousness of one, that there might be peace. He's heralded by many in the East, even to this day. Well, think about it, brothers and sisters. When Greece and Rome came to take control of the East, hey, they sought to bring the rule of Alexander, Ptolemy, Cassander, Seleucus, Antiochus, Julius. But the people of the East have only seen injustice from them. And think about it. The one that I'm speaking of called the Kurdi. When men heard of the type of just and righteous rule that he had exemplified over the people, there were territories like Babylon, my brother and sister, didn't resist his coming in to take over and rule. In fact, they opened the doors for him to come in and establish just rule beyond anything that to date they had known. Well, brothers and sisters, that was a very high hat, if you will, for someone like Alexander to come in, especially being totally lacking in his orientation and his desire to be true to the culture, the monotheist culture and expectation that existed in the East. But I want you to know something, my brothers and sisters. By the time Alexander had come, already were the stories that had begun to circulate. Because the people in the East knew the Messiah must come not once, not twice, but at least three times. And they were already looking for the return of one who would establish justice and peace. And that meant that polytheist Western imperialism could only be idolatry against the prophecy. In fact, Daniel 8, I've talked about the 8 and 5 to 25, said that Western imperialism will be defiant against the Most High, even the King of Kings, until the Prince of Princes comes. Do we have any problem then, my brothers and sisters, after all that understanding? The nature of the system that we must overcome? It's sad, my brothers and sisters, how the adversary, when he fell away and could no longer rule among those who discern the truth, he sought to establish an alternate reality. That's what all the rulers have done in the world today. Sought to establish an alternate reality and forcing it upon the people, even compelling the people not to embark on terror raids against the fathers they are taught. And even if they are to raise against father is taught, there's so many different forms of father that have to be spoken against, and so many misrepresentatives that after a while, many just are willing to compromise and just simply say they are pleased to let it be. Got news for you. I saw a poll in the paper, I think it was in USA Today, and it says where many just a few months ago, I said just a few months ago, were resentful that the present governing situation seems to be filled with so many contradictions and moves so slow. And a poll that was made just today, a few months later, says a lot of people just simply accepted that's the way it is. And where many were contentious against this idea just a few months ago, many have come to say that they aspire to it now. How quickly, my brothers and sisters, the conscience of men does change, especially amidst an arena where the greater truths are not told. Where men don't even know to expect deliverance. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The prophecy that a lawgiver shall not depart from between the feet of Judah till Shiloh come is in fact, my brothers and sisters, a latter-day prophecy. Hey, out of the tribes of Judah, was there a lawgiver in Egypt? Who was Moshe? Was he of the tribe of Judah? Those prophecies were made, my brothers and sisters. Those prophecies were made. Israel had just entered Egypt. And you can really say the 12 sons of Jacob and his families. And their families have walked into Egypt. Did Israel immediately have a lawgiver? Like I said, who was Moshe? Was he of the tribe of Judah? Or was he of the tribe of Levi? Hey, we understand that Saul came soon thereafter. After Israel was brought out of Egypt, hundreds of years later. But Saul had to be deposed. And when the Most High did speak of one who was to rule over all of the tribe of David, you ever stop to consider how much that speaks to one called the written offspring of David and the bright morning star? Hey, between the feet of Judah, the same thing is saying a descendant of David, King David. The prophecy speaks about one in the latter days, my brothers and sisters, to finally bring peace to the world. My brothers and sisters, the scriptures are saying that prophecy is a commanded expectation. And when Messiah said that he is the written offspring of David and the bright morning star, those who have not sought to uphold that message, it must prove foolish the misinformation of those who have hidden these things. My brothers and sisters, whoever upholds institutionality that refuses to acknowledge these truths, my brothers and sisters, upholds the very schemes that have been the utmost obstacle against the deliverance of the people of Israel since the dawn of human fall. Scripture says, come out of this Babylon, O my people, lest you become partakers of her sins, smitten by our plagues. The Yahs remembered our iniquities, and they reached the stench of it all, if you will, reached even up to the skies. I'm looking at my time, and there's, you know, a couple points I'd like to relate. Think about it, my brother and sister. Maybe this will help many to understand. Like I said, people of the West saw the idea about one king to be an ultimate great threat to their entire way of life. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, that the idea of one king, one Shiloh, King of Kings, one son of one Most High, when they all wanted to call themselves, all the kings wanted to call themselves sons of some god. They all wanted to call themselves saviors. They had a term they used for it, Soter. Ptolemy du Soter, Alexander du Soter, Cassander du Soter, Seleucus du Soter, Antiochus du Soter, the Savior, they said. Julius of Soter. Everyone saying that they are saviors because they have favor of some god or some group of gods. My brothers and sisters, the one who was called the Son of Yah, King of Kings, was not a concept that they of the West adored. Because this is talking about one who was the son of a god that they did not know. Time to see the real. Time to understand, my brothers and sisters, what was going on, how they looked at these things. Think about it. The heathen even called it glorious that somebody would fight for their country and even die in battle. They called it a glorious death. They died in battle defending their country. That they go to some Valhalla they called like an afterlife. And that they wake up in the morning, in the afterlife, they said, and fight in war all day. And if they're killed in battle, they just get up the next day and war some more. To the representation of whatever land or whatever god they said they served. They didn't have the hope of peace, even in an afterlife, my brothers and sisters, because they were looked upon as still being subject to the various generals and statesmen. Warlords under whom they served in their various armies. They didn't see peace as glorious, my brothers. They didn't see the reconciled mankind being raised to a common sense of conscience as glorious. They saw warfare as something to be delighted in. Shame, my brothers and sisters. Shame. But like I said, when people thought of such as this as a reward, eternal warfare as a reward, kind of hard to get people prepared, my brothers and sisters, for an honorable peace. Like I said, the scripture says concerning Messiah, Shashan Shahe, King of Kings, he said, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Some say allegiance. That is the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son of Yah, or Son of, in this case, the God, rather than all calling themselves sons of God and all saviors. I did that this one is the awaited, if you will, Lord whom men should seek, chosen to reveal the true and everlasting glory of one Most High as his Father. Think about the connotation of all these things I'm saying to you. That even unto him shall mighty men, how about those who faked and called themselves saviors, should come and bow. That concept, my brothers and sisters, the imperialist agendas of Western polytheist tyranny had no place for. Our expectation, my brothers and sisters, of a one, whom the one Most High, above all else, was sent to bring peace on the earth, a son of the nation that the Most High called Zion, his sheep, himself as ultimate shepherd. That was an orientation, my brothers and sisters, that the Gentile nations lacked, and it was considered an abhorrent to these various nations because it meant the deposing of all these kings, even as it is prophesied. In these latter days, my brothers and sisters, I see something that is just like it was before. This Nimrodian Babylon, Roman Babylon of old, brothers and sisters, I see reflecting in this present society still in so many ways. Everyone believing that they have a ruler who somehow finds them licensed to be disobedient against the perfect rule of one. And they all, my brothers and sisters, might find themselves justified by some deviation. Believing that their rulers have some kind of divine power to declare what is sovereign righteousness, even having power to pardon men who might be transgressors until after an absolute rule, and then somehow be justified again by some form of deviation. And my brothers and sisters, the rulers use these ploys, flattery, to keep the people subjugated. Con, my brothers and sisters, are their very souls.
90 seconds.
That the rulers had power to declare another reality over the people in which they ruled. And like I said, my brothers and sisters, the rulers have always known that he who controls the flow of information controls the people. Scripture says Israel will find in the last days they've forgotten much of what is the promise. There's a reason why the scripture says Isaiah 44 in the Aramaic, he says, when the Most High blots out the sins of his people, they see again the perfect light. He says,
henceforth, O Israel,
forget me not. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, because men have forgotten the light of the expectation of one who rules over all, exposes all the unrighteousness of all the rulers, because men have forgotten that expectation? The scripture says that he will come that findeth from the west to the rising of the sun. He will cast aside all ungodliness. As a Savior, he will reveal all righteousness. They finally are covenant, my brothers and sisters. It's something about Isaiah 59:19-21. Scripture says, the Savior should come to Zion, turn away all ungodliness from Jacob. He said that finally his covenant should not depart out of the mouths of your descendants, henceforth even forever. Therefore, never again making
10 seconds.
Appropriation for misguided rule. Was that the ideas of the nations? Absolutely not. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Hallelujah. I look forward to setting up this article in a more apropos state, that men might see through the eyes of the Most High what he has allowed me to see. And finally, my brothers and sisters, a concerted people might have peace. To his might, to his honor, to his praise always. Hallelujah. And I thank you all again for listening. You got the